We have Caroline. So happy you're here today.
Hi. Yes, it's wonderful to be here. I always love hearing you on Sundays, Glenda. It makes my Sundays special. I have two very different blessings that I'd like to ask for. The first one is this. Two very dear people to me, one is a close friend, the other is a close relative, are involved in getting some of the truth out in this medical morass, this sort of medical McCarthyism we are dealing with right now. And I would like blessings for three aspects for those people. One of them is called Ed, the other one's called Alex. And Jeshua knows exactly who they are and what they're doing. But the thing is that I am concerned about their safety given the current environment, so I really would like some kind of protection over these two people. The second thing is I don't want them to be trapped in the ego part of what they're doing, because they're doing great things and people are putting them up on pedestals, but sometimes that can be a real double-edged sword that can make you trip up and maybe go for the dark side. And the third thing is, for these two people, they're so much involved in telling people about, say, the shadow world that we're living in, that I want them also to be able to have the light, to not get too dragged down in that, to also see the light in the world too. So that's the first blessing, and it's a very important one.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And the second one is that I am, I just brought out a book about, it's a comedy self-help about breast cancer and infidelity. And I really would like that to get out and be read by people. I have a couple of things that I think are so important in that field. One of them is about the link between bras and breast cancer. And the other one is that the problems with, huge problems with breast implants, that those two issues haven't come out. And I'm trying to bring those out in all the podcasts I do. So I would like that, those issues in my book to be able to be read by people who really it resonates with, and that the message gets out. So those are the two very different blessings that I would love to have you do for me today.
It will be our pleasure to facilitate that, Caroline. Also important, and we include all of our spiritual warriors in the blessing for your two friends, because we have many people fighting for the light. And one thing I would hope that they all remember is that you really don't have to fight for the light. You just have to bring it, because light is like fire. It is contagious and it multiplies and is never weakened because it's shared. Isn't this the wonderful thing about fire? You can share fire and you haven't cut it in half.
Wow.
Fire just simply grows. And it's the same thing with light. You share light, you're not cutting it in half. It's not a piece of apple pie that if you share, there's one less piece to have for yourself. No, light grows as it's shared. And so let us share the light and do so in a way that actually accomplishes its purpose in secret ways of uplifting that even an enemy would not recognize. And all of a sudden, he's lifted off the ground as well. And I think that, I think that when Yeshua is reported as having saying, as having taught, love your enemies, I think there was a whole lot more to that story than that. I don't think it was an abbreviated, simplistic recommendation for them to go out and hug a Roman. No, I think it was really part of a much more extensive teaching that when we provide love in the course of living, it infiltrates and uplifts those who would actually otherwise be our enemy. In other words, we change the entire environment when we love, and it affects everyone. there was a whole lot more to that teaching, I'm sure. Because, you know, this is one of the most common questions I have had in the last, well, in the last 20 years since the 22 years since the book was distributed, even before that with the Conversations with Jesus, is people want to know, well, what did he mean by that? Does it mean I'm supposed to go out and hug a murderer, somebody who murdered my children? And I would say, no, there's a whole lot more to that. And I would try to complete the story, but it was very, very difficult. But I think that comes back to what you're talking about. And that is there are many, many ways we can contribute to enlightenment and the spreading of truth without cultivating liabilities to ourselves. And it's a sign of wisdom that we look for ways to do that. Okay.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm very grateful for the protection that that I hope Jesha is putting around these two people for what they're doing.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And he does. He's had protection around me since all the years I've been working with him. And there have been a few times when on my own I stepped outside, and let me tell you, there was a difference. I stepped back inside real quick. So he's there for us. He's there for anyone who asks to be part of his work of lifting the world and bringing us all back to truth.
Yay.
Yay. Thank
okay.
you.
It makes me think of, you know, always we always have to remember to listen and to tune in because, you know, we're going to hear in our own heart the truth, you know. I think we've got to remember the world wants to tell us a lot of stories, but it's almost like we sort of have to unlearn and unremember so that we can remember. There's so much junk out there, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And one of the most common ways of disguising junk is to encase it in a story. I don't know about you, but I am so, so tired of receiving promotions about, well, it could be supplements or lifestyles or just good ideas that sound so great. And then I've got to listen to a story that's been made up, probably not a grain of truth in the story. It's been made up to humanize the content that's going to be presented as if we as humans only communicate through stories. Well, Yeshua had a lot to say about that, and you can read about it as the 23rd chapter of Love Without End. It's called The End of Stories.
Right.
It's a,
so
yeah.
What about people who are fighting for the light and fighting for the truth in some of these medical things who aren't Christians? What is the protection for those people?
The truth.
The truth.
The truth.
So Jeshua would still protect people.
Absolutely. Anyone who speaks the truth is protected by the armor of God. And he will be protected by the armor of Archangel Michael and Archangel Uriel. It is the truth that will set us free. And so anyone who risks their life to speak will be protected. But that doesn't mean they're exempt from wisdom in how they convey the truth. If we convey the truth with hostility towards those we want to correct, we could be bringing a liability onto ourselves that has nothing to do with the truth. We're exposing wrongdoing in other people, and they don't like it. They will oppose it. So there's still never any exemption from wisdom. So that
really good.
Our wisdom is our armor. It is the armor we have. And then using the intelligences of the heart are really our greater armor because we start with the wisdom of unity, and then the great, then the wisdom of life. And what about respect? If we find a way to show respect, even to those we want to correct, it will maybe not result in correcting them, but we will gain more listeners. People who are on the sidelines listening to make a decision, well, which side am I going to go with or not? They'll probably go with the side that has the most respect, especially respect for life, respect for freedom, respect for the truth. Okay? So we go on down through the wisdoms of the heart. All of these are wisdoms. Your protection is wisdom.
Love it. So good.
Thank you.
Really,
that's great.
You're welcome. And that goes even for on-the-job negotiations and upsets in the office. Use a little wisdom. Study the intelligences of the heart. Understand that the other people are just as upset about it as you are. Because when you have to work with people, it's a whole lot better to be in a state of harmony and unison. It's a whole lot better to be conducting life for life in the living and to respect. Everybody wants all of that. And if you just work what everybody else wants, then you're working the obvious result. Work the gifts of God if you want to be successful. It's an easy way to say it.
Wow, thank you.
Could be a great bumper sticker.
What, Nancy?
Good bumper sticker. I wrote it down. Work the gifts of God if you want success, or anyone who speaks the truth is protected by the armor of God. That's so good.
Yep.
So good.
Wow.
Okay. Well,
thank you
for calling.
Yes.
God bless you.
Love you all. Thank
you. Love you too. We have Cynthia. We're so happy you're here today.
Hi there. Can you hear me okay? I was
wondering. Yes, we can. You're coming in.
Hi. Glenda, I have to tell you, well, I'm crying right now. I'm so emotional after everything you just, I wrote everything down. I said, wow. So thank you so much for being you, for sharing your heart, your truth, your wisdom. I have one question for you, and then I want to just give out some blessings to people here.
Okay.
The question I have, because I'm working with this, is faith. Mm-hmm. I'm actually living right now in this gap. I call it the gap, the void for a minute, and living my life, not really knowing. I'm living the unknown right now, every day. So I'm wanting to know to keep, committed to faith every day. That's it. You know, that I don't fall back into doubt, mm-hmm. fears, blah, blah, blah. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
That was my one. So,
okay. Well, just stand in your strength, because your strength comes from God. If you feel weak, that's coming from the world. It's as simple as that. Find your strength and stand in it. And then speak your truth, but be wise in how you speak it.
Okay.
I would recommend a reading of Love Without End, the Intelligences of the Heart.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that, Nancy?
Oh, my gosh. You could read it every week, everybody. It was the first cassette that I listened to when I met you back in 96, or I think it was a really long time ago. But, yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. Again, I got tears in my eyes as I'm listening with you. I wanted to give out blessings to these people. One is to me. The next person I want to give a blessing to is my friend Peggy.
Okay.
These are all friends of mine: Peggy, Lonnie, Teddy, Gail, and Tyler.
Okay,
that's
great.
That's
and I'm sure Yeshua knows them by heart. We call for this. We ask him for their blessings.
Okay.
All right. Great. And it's so nice
Thank
to
you.
Talk to you. Bye-bye.
Yes. Bye.
Well, thank you, Cynthia. We all feel how you feel when we get a really great message, comes straight to our heart. We have, it looks like it's Stephen's line is open, Glenda.
Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Glenda. So happy to
yeah.
be here. I just am requesting a blessing for my friend Janice Gates. She, for many years, has been battling chemical imbalances in her mind and mm-hmm. having to be medicated for that and stuff. And she, for several years, she was my neighbor and good friend. Our daughters grew up together as best friends. And very sadly, a few days ago, she took her own life. And so it's just a real shock to everybody. And she left behind her husband and her daughter. And she was really cherished and loved by the yoga community. She was an author and meditation and yoga teacher and taught retreats around the world. And she taught for many years at Jack Kornfield's Spirit Rock Meditation Center. She was still doing that. I mean, so she's leaving behind a lot of students. And so I think she just was so tormented, you know, for many years, so tormented with extreme anxiety and depression. And, my good friend Meredith had written a poem about her and her sister last year on the Yuba River, which just was so beautiful. And I've been in shock the last few days. And so I just want to, a real blessing for her soul, that it's at peace with God and the angels, and that they're really, she's really feeling healed and free from all her incredible stress, mental stress that she has endured for many years. So that's really all I am requesting.
She sounds like a treasure, and we have lost the treasure. So it makes me very sad as well. I'm so sorry to hear that. God bless her. And I'm sure he is. I'm sure she is in the arms of the angels right now.
Thank you.
And I think what she would most like right now is if we ask her to bless us.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
That's so hard. So yeah. Sorry, Stephen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just.
She was obviously a child of God's service. And so to ask her to bless us is probably the greatest honor we could give her.
Yeah, I really feel that, you know, I do feel that. She was just a very down-to-earth, humble, beautiful soul. And, I think she would want that more than anything, is just to be able to bless the whole world. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's what I felt. I totally felt it. So. We thank her for her life and her service, and we honor her in receiving her blessing and all that she left behind.
And we'll ask Yeshua to bless you, Stephen, as you grieve. You know, such a dear heart
that
is so important to you.
Yeah, thank you. It just came as such a huge shock. I just, you know, when I heard it, I was just burst into tears and, you know, immediately shared it with my friend who burst into tears. And yeah, everybody just, you know, is it's just, I guess it's just part of life. We have to experience these sort of things, you know, and it's never easy. It's never easy. And I guess it's just, we have to experience the not easiness of it and realize that that's also just part of it all.
Indeed. Indeed. Well, God bless you too, Stephen. And I hope that you come through this with enlightenment about life and greater love of it. As we go through life, no matter what we go through, if our end result is more love of life, greater enlightenment, and closeness to God, we've been a success.
I believe that. Thank you.
Bye-bye for now.
Oh, gosh.
Bye.
Thank you, Stephen. Well, we have Lorraine. Welcome to the blessing.
Thank you so much. And thank you for the, there's been a hawk just flying around talking, affirming all this wisdom. There he is, or she. Anyway, the place that I, and no,
are
I'm actually at my home, just out on the deck here. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like a seagull, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the blessing, I just wanted to bring attention that, I don't know if it's already been mentioned, that Patricia Cota Robles is, as we speak, having her World Congress of Illumination started today through the end of the week, where they're doing all these, bringing in the light, all of what you talked about in the beginning, responding to Caroline. So I feel like extending the blessing energy to add to the mix of the light that they're holding in the truth and all of that.
That's a great
idea. Santa Fe, New Mexico. Santa Fe is where they're meeting, but people around the world are joining in consciousness.
Mm-hmm. That's a great idea. Well, she's been at her work for many, many years.
She has.
Mm-hmm. I think 80. She came a little bit after me, but it's been a long time.
Yeah.
Probably 25 years, I would think. Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, just like you, one of the big spiritual teachers, leaders. Yeah, thank you. That's, yeah.
It's curious, Lorraine, you bring her up, because I listened to just a 30-minute thing of hers the other day. I'd recommend it to everybody. It's just on the Humanities Team website, and it's free. And it's just a little podcast from, I guess, their weekly thing. Occasionally I'll listen to them, and it was her with Steve Farrell for like 30 or 45 minutes, and it's a really powerful message, and it aligns everything with what Yeshua has come through Glenda with. It's just so perfect, and I'd definitely recommend it to everyone.
Yeah.
That's great. Thanks, Nancy. Hey, you want to give us a couple of little bits of wisdom from it?
The one thing that stuck with me the most was kind of like we weren't designed to not be, you know, these love beings. And it's not that the experiment's gone wrong necessarily, but that there is a lot of love and light coming through so that we do rise, you know, to our true self. And, you know, she kind of goes into greater detail of sort of the origin of things and kind of the fall, if you will, and, you know, kind of how it went a little awry and really is hopeful about where we're headed. So I always like to hear things that provide, you know, positive and a hopeful message that, you know, we've got this in the bag, you know.
Well, God has it in the bag. That
yep.
I'm talking about.
For sure.
Most people haven't even looked in the bag yet.
This is true. We're stuck in 3D, the five-sense world.
You know, it's a great misunderstanding that good and evil are equal quantums opposing each other. There's nothing equal about evil. It didn't exist at the beginning of the universe. Not, just read our Bible if you want to see what was at the beginning of the universe, or any other sacred text about the origins of existence. There was no evil there. It didn't exist until way, way, way further into creation, where we began to deal with opposites and the opposition that these opposites create.
And
that's powerful, Glenda. That's really actually a big part of the message. You're sort of just sharing it now. That's amazing. But yeah, that's definitely in there, exactly what you're saying.
And it's true of human beings also. We are told we were created in the image of God, which means inside us was no evil. It was no evil. You can hold a little baby, a little tiny child, and sure, they could misbehave just because they're enjoying life and what the heck. You know, why not throw something at the wall? That's fun. You know, that's not evil. It's just something that kids do, because kids do almost everything. They're exploring life. There's no evil there. None. And the evil, not that there's ever really any evil, but the negativity that we think is subject to correction happens really in mirroring back actually bad parenting, overcorrecting little actions that weren't bad in the first place. The kid just needed a nap, for heaven's sake, you know, or a glass of milk. Something just to settle them down and a little hug and, you know, let's read a book now. You know, but when children are abused from their parenting or others in their environment, that begins to set in what they're going to oppose with purpose. And that opposition creates the depth of negativity, which is why we have so much delinquency inside projects and crime areas and impoverished areas where children are just not receiving the love and the parenting they need to flourish. But, you know, in every generation, we have roses that grow out of the garbage. And they're fabulous people, which endorses the fact that any one of these kids could have been fabulous if the support and the parenting had been there. So I think that's just, I'm using that as an example of what any one of us could have gone through in life. And I think we can all relate to the fact that when we were in our late teens or 20s, even if we had a hardship situation, we were optimistic about making life work, getting what we wanted, going for our goals, you know, having the career, the relationship, the success in life, the joy in life, the fun in life that we wanted to have. And then we began to run into problems that we began to oppose. Well, the problems didn't see us as a worthy adversary, so they fought back. And the battle increased the polarization, and the polarity created the conflict. You know, I wish and pray every day to speed up this process of getting us over racial conflict that should never exist in the first place. I know so many people of multiracial families and work environments, and they love each other. They love each other. It's not fair, and it's not there unless somebody comes in politically to try to create it being there. I'll give you just real simple model of what to think about on this. I used to have four dogs. This was a long time ago when I was on the vineyard. I had four dogs. One was black, one was white, one was tan, and one was brown. They didn't know they were different colors, and they didn't care. And it couldn't have been anything that they ever even thought about. Now, why? I'll tell you why right now. Because they didn't identify with their color. They didn't identify with it. They were dogs. They identified with dogness, and dogs play with dogs. Dogs bond with dogs. They form teams with dogs. They have little tribes, and they play, and they help each other. They take care of each other. They hunt together. They identified with their dog spirit, the essence of their being, and color didn't matter. they probably didn't even notice it. It was irrelevant. Well, it should be irrelevant with humans, all colors. Not even colors, but ethnicities should be irrelevant. You know, the fact is, I love to go into little charming towns like, well, the little German villages and get their German food. And, oh, my gosh, I love the ethnicity of some Swedish towns, the German towns. I love going to Chinatown in San Francisco. I love the different ethnicities. I love going to Japanese restaurants, Vietnamese. There was a whole Vietnamese village in Fort Worth. And it was just great. It was charming. I lived on the edge of it and used to love going to their shops and talking with them, you know. But what really connected us was the humanity of it. When I lived in New Orleans, I used to just, well, everybody there would congregate for the black funerals, the jazz funerals, and really enjoy the indigenous, ancient, black culture. You know, we could love each other for who we are without creating any of this polarity. And in my observation of the world, I think most of it's being created. And I'm really, really not happy about that. I won't say I'm opposed to it, because opposition will just create emotional blindness for me. And whenever you oppose something, you'll find there's an exception to it, and then you have to deal with those exceptions. So I'm not going to say I oppose it. I understand it. But there's a better way, and that better way is up. That better way is getting into our native innocence as human beings, innocent perception, honoring of one another, loving one another, which was one of Yeshua's two remaining commandments. You know, the answers are really very simple, my friends, but there's so few people looking for simple answers. They want to make it complicated, because the complications can be used to then manipulate other situations. This is not a way to go. This is not wise. It's not wisdom, and it's not going to bring success. This is what's really, really upsetting most of us these days, are these unnecessary complications and aversions to just applying the most basic solutions that God has ever given us. Be like a little child. If you're a little child, you won't notice or care about the difference in color or the difference in ethnicity. You'll find it fun. You'll actually enjoy it, you know? And we need to be more like children and stop the fighting, because all the big fighting in the world, which we hear about in the news and worry about far too much, it all comes from small fighting. Small fighting is the origin of it. Small manipulation, hate. We're not creatures of hate. Why would we give our life to it? Hating has never accomplished a doggone thing in the history of this world. Why don't we learn? That should be an IQ test on the results of love versus hate. Like, right? The difference between 100 and 0. But, well,
you know,
okay.
And I was born Catholic and raised Catholic, rather. And when I was a kid, and you were taught to think that, you know, you're born in sin. And it's like kids don't really carry that kind of concept. And, you know, I'm so glad you mentioned reading the heart, because, you know, he basically said, you know, the concept of unworthiness or thinking that you're born in sin is, you know, prevents a workable key to get into your heart. And, you know, you have to really, you know, people who day after day think of themselves as a sinner, they don't really want to change. And if they don't want to, you know, see themselves as God's creation, then how does grace and everything come through? I don't know. It's an interesting...
They should read the Bible. There's a lot more wisdom in the Bible than there is from the mouth of some preachers.
Yeah, that's true. And you once said, if you read it with your heart, you find the truth.
Oh, you do. You do. You just have to read it with innocent perception. It's actually all there. It's all there, my friends. But we bring filters when we read it, and we're trying to find out if Pastor Johnson was really saying the same, was really speaking truth. And so we're looking at it through the eyes of Pastor Johnson, who then, we have to think, well, maybe he was partly right, or maybe he was maybe not quite so right. But we're thinking about Pastor Johnson more than we're thinking about God.
Right.
You know why? Because we're living with Pastor Johnson, and we're not living with God. Try it the other way around and see what happens.
Yeah, I love it.
I cannot believe I was so worked back in 1991 that having Yeshua in my life would be the end of my ability to get along with everybody else. That was the biggest joke I ever perpetrated on myself. I have never gotten along with others better than I do today. I wake up in the morning and I say, hello, God. And my day starts on the right feet. And then when people come up with little issues and problems, for the most part, it just blows away. Most of the time without me having to say a thing. Now, I do have a blessing I would like to ask our community to hold in your heart for us. And it's not something that I take with any degree of critical care, except that I've got a new pathway to walk on, and I want to have companionship on that pathway. All of us in good faith about what can come from all of this, and I know the best possible will come. I mentioned to you several weeks ago that I was faced with a decision of, taking care of the church business all by myself, or letting Tiffany take it to Lubbock, where she's moving. Well, Tiffany has now decided she can't do that, and she's not going to, she doesn't want to live at a distance and try to work from a business that's here. And it's something I really encouraged her to consider all along. It's not with any hard feelings or bad feelings at all. It's just now I'm faced with, what do I do? Where am I going to find somebody that I really, really want to have working with this divine project alongside me? And I know that the right person will come my way, but there's, I don't know if you call it a law, but it's an old adage that we are only 6 points separate from any other person in the world. So I hope you'll help make up one of those 6 points for me so that I can reach out, have good advice and good connection on finding this perfect right person to come in and help me keep this going and expanding and moving forward in the right way. So I am very grateful to have had Tiffany for 6 months, and the blessing she brought to us, helping us have the successful seminar we did, and wish her all the goodwill for a great new life and in her new marriage. So I think just between you and me and the walls, I think her husband had something to say about wanting her to be more with him. So she doesn't need to work. He wants to support her completely. And so I think he had something to say about that after she was married. But even that, I bless, because I wouldn't want him to be unhappy either. So we all move forward with grace and love. But still, remember us in our prayers, because we're one community. We're all in this together, and we're moving forward together. So you are part of my wisdom. And thank you for listening and holding that in your heart. And Nancy, we can open our line to some more people.
Okay. Lorraine, thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you.
I think I clicked you off. I'm so sorry. We have Ken. Ken, your line is open.
Yes. Hello, everybody. Just always, I don't make it quite every week, but I just love the weeks that I actually can. And to listen to you, Glenda, and hear everybody else on the call, it's just a real delight to be kind of part of the community, even though I'm probably about 1,000 miles away. So that's probably just where we are.
Yeah. Well, you don't feel 1,000 miles away.
You know, I'm sure glad about that. It's I feel like that the spirit within us is the thing that we anchor to through our feet, and through our feet, you know, to the center of the planet and the center of the universe and wherever we're going, and yet our mind and our souls, we kind of all connect up to the heavens, and so it's all part of all of it that makes it work. It's like a big universal, global, planetary, information, electrical, spiritual circuit that just keeps on going and going and going. And all I feel like that what I really need to do is just kind of stay in the river, stay in the flow, and it'll show me the right direction and the right path and where I need to move.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, welcome, and we're so glad you're here today. How can we bless you?
Well, I had one comment that I wanted to make is that, you know, one of the things that I know you've said this before, is that whenever I get a little overwhelmed with the world, the easiest thing to go do is turn off the TV, because there's nothing of value on it. It is all theater.
That's right.
And the second thing is that I did have a specific request. I have a beautiful sweetheart, and her son are going through some difficult times. Her name is Maria. His name is Jonathan. And I would ask that they get a blessing for just being able to maybe have a few miracles in their life and to find some peace and wisdom where they both can kind of step into a larger reality of hope and forgiveness and grace.
Oh, that's such a sweet request. Yes, I mean, it really touches my heart, and I'm all there with you.
Yeah, and it's, you know, the thing that goes along with, as you were saying, kind of reading from your heart is, at least for me, it's just to remember that, you know, that really is the only thing that I can really call real.
Yeah.
Everything else around me seems to be so constructed and manipulated and obscure. But when I really sink into my heart and I say, you know, who am I? Who are you? You know, who are we? And I don't necessarily hear the answer, but I feel it. And then I'm just guided to where I need to be and where I need to go next. And then that's it. That's all I need to pay attention to. The rest of it is just like noise, nonsense, and extraneous.
Well, you're listening correctly, Ken. And this caused me to want to bring back something I have said on a couple of other occasions. And that is, we're getting back to the book of Genesis again, which is actually a very relevant and powerful book for these days and times. If you read through the sequences of creation, and who knows what the days were, they were periods of time in succession. And the one thing you will find that is in the story of creation, never once is it said God created the world. God didn't create the world. This is why he doesn't fix it. He didn't create the world. Humans created the world. And that's why so much of it is fiction. And the rest of it is on insecure footing. So it's either on insecure footing with semi-goodwill but subject to change, or it's just fiction. There's nothing there you could really, really base your life on, because God didn't create it. Humans created it. And over many, many generations, of layering one generation's reality, which was mostly fiction, on top of another generation's reality, which was even more fiction, well, it gets pretty doggone complicated. And that's where we are today. It's so complicated, you can't even sort it out. It's like a really, really bad knot that you can't untie. That's what we're looking at. And so it's best to just lay the knot down, turn the TV off, and get into your heart to create and be with whatever is truly meaningful to you, whatever will bring grace and love and joy to you and a sense of production and accomplishment to your life. You will be honored for your creations. You will be honored for your production. And that's the most important thing. Stay productive, everybody. Stay productive. And where the world really tears us down the most is it comes in with all of this garbage, either that we have to listen to, filter through, or turn off. And by the time we get through with that, our day is over, and we're tired, and we don't feel like working. Well, just say hello to God in the morning and get to work. Be productive. The parable of seeds being productive, or fruit, the vines, trees, the fig tree, so many parables that Yeshua spoke about were all about this. You shall know the value of a tree by its fruit, by its production. The parable of the talents is all about, well, talents were given to everybody. Some people didn't use them because they thought, well, I don't want to risk losing it, so I'll just store it up and save it. Other people used their talent and made more talents and more than that and more and more. So be productive with your life, whatever that is. It could be any level of production. It could be helping a friend. It could be baking brownies and sharing it with your neighbor. That's actually productive. It is, because it builds confidence in the goodwill of your neighbors and that your neighbors care about you. And that's actually valuable production. So, or it could be production on your job. And with that, you make the money to support your life with monetary needs. But however you're productive, do it.
One thing I would add to that, Glenda, is I think, and you're kind of alluding to it, is that sometimes the things that are truly most productive in the long run are the things that are simplest to do now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's, you know, not only for the long-term gain, but also for your own sense of satisfaction. And,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you so much. I will yield, and I will bless you, my dear, and everybody else here as well.
Okay. We take it. We love it. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you so much, Ken. That was beautiful. We have Rick. Welcome.
Hi.
To the blessing.
Thanks. I'm on every Sunday, but choose to stay silent, but a few things just started resonating. I listened to the Air of Peace. Every day they have a video at 11 a.m. on YouTube, and it was pretty moving today. But what the essence of what I wanted to say that may provide encouragement is that, you know, the universe answers from the sphere that makes the request for help. There have been enough light workers with Glenda's work and Patricia's and others now that we hit this quantitative mass that there's a big shift and we're able to absorb these higher frequencies of light that were blocked from us until now and without getting too esoteric. So it may seem like things are getting worse because the transmutation, the old bad behaviors now aren't going to work in this new higher frequency. We're really dense. I mean, you think of the Earth three-dimensional, the other areas of the universe are much, you know, lighter in essence. So don't get discouraged. And the other thing that I wanted to say is when you do listen to the news, four companies, four conglomerates own 90% of the media in the United States, and it's similar in Australia and other territories. So just keep that in mind that they've got agendas and there's filters. You know, there's even good filters. Japan filtered out North Korea lobbed missiles over them. The Japanese people don't know that. They didn't want to create any kind of trauma. So there's a lot of filters going on. So you can't really know truly what's behind the scenes. And that's all.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and most of their funding, and their funding, over 70% of it comes from pharmaceutical companies, and their profits are in the billions. Yeah.
Yeah, think what's below the surface, and then, you know, just forget about it because you don't know what you don't know, and it's going to surface when it's supposed to, especially if there's more light workers, it's going to accelerate. And that's all, that's where I get my comfort every day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. That's a good place to go.
Okay, well, that's it. I don't want to take up too much time, but, on the website there, there's a healing video that is absolutely transmuted from another place. And when I do my old man stretching, I put the AeroPeace MP3 free download on, and it really is healing. So I would highly recommend it to anybody.
Oh, that's great. Now, what is the website again, Rick?
It's aeroofpeace.org.
Oh, Era of Peace. Okay.
Yep. That's Patricia's website, yeah.
Yeah, and she was in town, and I watched her for 4.5 hours talk, and I really felt like every word was sacredly decisive. I do think she's the real deal because there's some people that are somewhat suspect out there, I must say. Okay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She is definitely the real deal. I just can't believe she can talk so many words per minute. For 4 hours. She amazes me.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
So that's all I wanted to convey to everyone. So that things are better than they seem. You just have to remember that.
Absolutely. And it really, really is true. Okay. I have something I could contribute, but I think it will be too long. So let's see who else is on the line. Nancy, we got somebody else.
We do. Thank you, Rick. We're going to finish up today with Sarah. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. Aloha, Glenda and Nancy and beloved community. This is Sarah. I just want to send my blessings. We definitely want to hear what you were just thinking about, Glenda. So if you're in and I'll say my, I want to ask a request for my boyfriend's mom. Her name is Kitty Walter. Blessings for her healing. Yeah, and then for my dad, Peter, blessings for his health. And I want to ask for blessings for myself as I am in the process of cleaning out my beloved mom's home. And so just blessings for that process. It's like really, it's really physically and emotionally dense. But I had this beautiful insight about giving up, and that's in the relationship of giving up also to forgiveness. And I just realized, too, this insight that the more I can give up on the physical, just give it off, let it go, then the more I'm available for spirit, for the Holy Spirit, for the spirit of my mom. So just keep giving up the physical and opening up to the spiritual.
Totally. You got it. That's the formula. Okay, Sarah. It's always, always great to hear your sweet voice.
Oh, you too.
Okay.
That was a perfect message to end on, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Sarah. Okay. Glenda, we don't have anyone else in the queue.
Oh, you mean I'm on? Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, it is just about 4 o'clock, so our timing is flawless. And I do like ending at 4 because so many people who don't have either the resources or the money to call in, they time their spiritual connection with us at 4 o'clock Central Time. And it's good to be there for them because we're including hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, more people that way, because I have no idea how many groups are out there connecting at this period of time, and it could be many groups. So I just like to honor that as much as I can. And yes, I did have something important to contribute, but it'll still be relevant next week. So remind me when we get to next week. And we always have great things to share. And in response to something that was almost said but not quite said by our last few callers, is that it doesn't matter if you speak up every time. It really doesn't, because Yeshua knows you're there. He hears you. And as part of our blessing, you're going to be offering your prayer in which all of the desires of your heart and your life are listened to by those who will then reflect blessings back upon you. So we share in order. The most important reason we share is to really make it real to everybody that they're part of a loving community that cares about them, that cares about our world, that cares about life being better, that cares about the truth and love, and sharing insights of wisdom and love that we all feel are lovely ways for connecting our lives. So you're here because of your presence, and your presence is felt. It is. I don't exactly know how that works, but I do know it works. It's worked for many, many years in the giving of live seminars. I can't tell you how many times I would show up to a seminar, have it all prepared in a nice little handbook. I walk in the room. I greet everybody. We have an opening prayer. I feel the room. I feel everybody in the room and what they've come to receive. I put my book down and never look at it again, because the most important thing in being together is being for those who arrive and are there and knowing it. Now, you would think, well, yeah, that could work in a live seminar, but it works also in the webinars I've given through the years. I think we're going to open with chapter 1 that I've prepared. Well, after I'm with the group for 5 minutes, I'm thinking, no, we're going to open with chapter 3. Or maybe I'm going to write a whole new chapter getting into this webinar, because this isn't the way I thought it was going to open. I'm totally responsive to that. Now, if I am, you better believe Yeshua is. You better believe the angels and the saints and our Heavenly Father are that receptive and that knowing and that attuned to you. And just arriving into the presence of God is your request. That is your request, being here and opening yourself, letting go of the world and being here inside your heart with the prayers of your heart. That's all it takes. Now, we have some brand new blessing givers that I'm so delighted with and so proud of. You did so well. And we're all going to be here, the long senior blessing givers and our brand new baby senior blessing givers who are moving into the next generation of blessing givers, because we won't have another seminar this coming year. In 2023, we're going to have a higher and even better revelation. It's going to grow. I promise you, it will grow every year. I have wanted to do a webinar between now and Christmas, and it's possible that we will do one between now and Christmas. But with all the things I had to attend to in terms of the local management of Spiritus Church. We've had to put it off a little bit, but I think we're going to be doing it before Christmas. So I'm open and listening for all the heavenly cues and human requests for what you're needing and interested in. But for now, we're going to begin with our blessing. Our blessing is, well, it's all from heaven and the earth. It's all from the greater perspectives of creation that have nothing but love and truth and solutions to offer to your life. They don't take in conflict. They don't even know evil. It means nothing to them. All they know is they love you. And they care about you. And they're looking for a way to connect their essence and power with your love. We provide that connection. And you and they take it from there. So what the blessing givers learned is how to prepare themselves to be that connector on your behalf. And this is what we do as our protocol, is we serve to provide that connection in a stronger way. And it's not really so much a physical as it is an energetic connection. All the universe is energy, and all communication is energy, and all connection is the harmonious interaction and flowing of energy. And that flow produces results. We don't know beforehand what it will be. It happens as a result of the connection. So let us get ready. You get ready in your easy chair, in your hammock, your bed, wherever you are. Just wherever you are, do not have any body parts crossed, because you're going to be flowing energy up one side, down the other, and it will be that way all through, except that it will cross over in your heart and then go up to heaven, back down to earth. So shake out your arms and legs and be just, make a noodle out of yourself, okay? Just make a noodle out of yourself. Now, let's take a deep breath, hold it for a second, and then blow it out to just let go of stressful energy you might have brought in from the world. Another deep one, and blow it out. And now we're going to gently begin our four square breath, which is your count of four, whatever it is. We honor your rate of breathing. And it's all a little different for each of us. You're going to give a breath slowly into the world and count it. Having given it, you're going to pause to the same count of four, that it may be received gracefully without rushing. And then, to the same count of four, you're going to make yourself available to receive the gift of life coming back to you as breath. Then you're going to give your body the grace and the space of time to the count of four to assimilate it. Take it into your body and being. And into the grace of four and the space of your counting four, you will give back to the world again. And so it will go. I will offer my prayer to Yeshua and then ask the blessing givers to join me. And you will begin your prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your magnificent gift of life and your precious gift beyond measure of your Son to the world, that we may know your presence in human form, thereby having the master plan to take the seed of your being buried inside us from the beginning and develop it into a fruitful tree of life, that we may develop our life in pattern with our senior brother, the one who is perfect, the one who knows no flaw, who holds no contention and holds no judgment. Even he deferred all judgment to you, our Heavenly Father. We thank you that you created us in innocence, in joy, to bring forth the rest of your creation that you left for us to provide. What a magnificent gift and opportunity you've given us. We ask for the strength to bring forth that blessing. Yeshua, we thank you with all our heart for being our brother, our teacher, our guide, our friend, and the salvation of our life. We ask now that you stand beside us as we offer and receive your blessing of love, of care, and healing. And we thank you for your greatest gift, the Holy Spirit, that will continue to guide us in paths of righteousness and wisdom, to give us the insight into living a better life and being the best possible person inside that life. In your precious name, amen. Blessing givers, will you join me now? your blessing has been given. Amen. Amen. And amen. Now go and rest for at least 7 minutes and let it just be absorbed into your body, heart, and soul. Allow yourself to be a blank slate upon which God writes his blessings for you. For now and the coming weeks, days, and seasons. I hope to see you again next week. And be well, be happy, be blessed. Bye-bye for now.